Hi, this is Sarah Richmond of East Denver Bible Baptist Church, the church with heart in the heart of the city. Welcome to this broadcast of Lead Me to the Rock, taught by my dad, Pastor Lauren Richmond. I know you'll enjoy it.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Hello, this is Pastor Lauren Richmond of East Denver Bible Baptist Church. I welcome you this morning to this broadcast of Lead Me to the Rock. I'd like to read this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we are able to have the opportunity to teach your word this morning. We ask that you might prepare the hearts of those that are listening. Perhaps you would cause some who would just accidentally come on across this broadcast, that you would touch their heart and cause them to consider you. If there'd be someone out in the audience that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'd realize that that's their only hope for heaven. For others, might they grow in grace and knowledge and just desire to go and serve you with their lives. Bless this broadcast and this station here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." I spoke a little bit on this yesterday at church and wanted to expand on this a little bit this morning, if I might. We had opportunity. We've had some issues in our church with some of the young people and their conduct and just the way that they behave themselves in church, and we felt necessary to lay down some rules. And it's not that we want to be rough on the kids. It's that we want them to be the kind of young people that God wants them to be and not be a distraction in the services or hinder the gospel going out. And so what we really hope is, as a result of the rules that we've laid down and asked for the adults, parents, and guardians to sign off on our discipline, is that this will cause these young people desire to get more out of their life and really desire to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times people, whether it be young people or adults, they don't really think about how important their youth is or how important their life is, regardless of how old they might be. You know, a lot of older people, and I hope I'm one of them, would consider ourselves young at heart at least. We still have a desire to do some great things for God, and we need to make the most of it. As a coach in high school, oftentimes when we're trying to recruit kids to come out and play for us or run for us, it seems so often that kids neglect the opportunity that they have. They don't put forth their best effort, or they waste time, or they decide to do something else that really isn't all that important. and really are not realizing the opportunity that is lost. Once you go on to college, you go on to the rest of your life, you're working every day, and you look back and you think, man, there were some opportunities that I had, there were things I could have done, and I didn't do them. I wish I had those days over. And I think in the spiritual realm, that's true as well. We need to take advantage of the time that we have. So we are not to despise our youth. We are not to waste it. We are not to think wrong of it, but rather we're saying, God, you know, how can I best yield myself to you so that I might really be used of God? I've gotten quite a bit of material this morning from Chuck Smith. I certainly appreciate his ministry and some of his commentaries. And as I was looking at some material on this particular verse, I just found some wonderful things there. So some of what I share this morning, and quite a bit of it actually, will be from some of his commentaries. So I do want to acknowledge him for that. But as the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. But it says, be thou an example of the believers. And certainly God calls upon us. He tells us to let our light shine among men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So God asks certainly that we would be a proper example. We might be someone that others would look up to, that others would be desirous of being like us. Now, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think quite often people don't realize that you are modeling for someone. There's someone that looks up to you, someone who's following your life and the way that you live, whether you realize it or not, be it a young person, be it a child, be it an adult, someone is looking on you and they're seeing how you live and they're determining, you know, when you skip church, they think, well, you know, church isn't all that important because so-and-so is not going, so I don't need to go. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, they think, well, I guess I don't need to spend time in the Word of God. After all, this person here is supposed to be a good Christian, and they're not spending time in the Word of God. If you don't pray, they think, well, it's not necessary for me to pray, because after all, this so-and-so doesn't spend much time in prayer. Now, some of the things that we do, people watch us, whether we realize it or not, and oftentimes we fall short. Oftentimes we lead people in the wrong direction, and we need God to help us that we might be the proper example of a believer. And certainly that's a key word. You know, you can be religious and you're still lost. You can be going to church, and yet you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've had a wonderful opportunity over the last couple of Sundays. 2 weeks ago, we had 8 adults on Sunday morning that accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Last Sunday, we had another man who was brought by his neighbor, just a new tenant, moved in and came forward at the invitation, accepted Christ as a Savior. So, you know, might have been a churchgoer before, but lost. But now that person is a believer, and praise God for that. But we're to be an example of the believers in word. You know, recently I was at a conference down in Pueblo, and it was concerning how you can improve your church. And there was a mega church, I guess a mega church preacher that was doing the seminar. And, you know, he had a lot of good material to give out. But there were 3 times there that my hearing was assaulted by some of the, I would say, questionable language that he used in his presentation. Here's supposedly a man of God, and I'm sure he's doing some great things for God, but I don't think it was necessary for him to use some of the language that he used. And I hope that we don't get to the place in our life where we think we're so big for God that we can say whatever we want to say, regardless of, you know, that we've got some special exemption on our talk. The Bible says we're to be an example of the believers in word. You know, we are to have speech that edifies. We ought to have speech that builds up. We ought to have speech that encourages. There is times that our speech needs to admonish if it's, you know, from the Lord, letting people know, you know, this is right or this is wrong. Certainly there's many ways that we would be helpful to people in our lives with the word that we speak. And so we need to ask God to help us to say the things only that God would want us to say and not something that would be hurtful or harmful to people. The Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So we need to be careful in our word. I believe the word also can be referred to as the word of God, and that's what we're supposed to study and to proclaim it. So that it might change lives. It talks about in conversation. Certainly our conversation is our lifestyle. And we are to be a people that live a godly life. We are to be a people that when people look at, you know, they say, you know, that person must be a Christian. You know, there's something different about that person. I don't know what it is, but they sure do. You know, I see Christ in them. And so our conversation ought to be such that brings, again, honor and glory to God. It says in charity, and of course the Bible says that charity never faileth, and, you know, is kind and so forth. And I think charity is, I like to think of it, you know, a lot of people will take the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and call it the love chapter. And I prefer to use the word charity there, but I believe that love is one thing. I think charity is something more even than love. You know, I think you show your charity by loving people enough that you're willing to give. And it's one thing to say that you love someone; it's another one to show it by perhaps reaching into your pocket or going out of your way to be a blessing and a help to another. So we need to be a people of charity. We need to be a people that honor God by our giving, and we're willing to step out and to make a difference. And then, of course, it says in spirit, and of course, I believe that's our temperament, and certainly we ought to be a people that you know, we're not a grouchy people. We're not grumpy. And, you know, sometimes I'll be honest with you, I work graveyards, and it's easy to, if you're short on sleep or you get woke out of sleep, it's easy to become grumpy. It's easy to snap at one. It's easy not to be the kind of person that we ought to be. But by God's grace, we ought to pray, Lord, help us that we might have the right spirit. I mean, we're the children of God. We've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. So therefore, we need to, people ought to look at us. And we ought to have a passion for winning people to Christ. You know, I think as a coach, there's a desire to lead your team and to get victories. And I think as a pastor, we are to lead a winning team. We're leading the local church. We're trying to bring victory to God. You know, every time we can snatch a soul from hell, every time we can see someone come out of a life of despair and addiction and, you know, come out of prison and see that life saved and that life changed, then we ought to be praising God for that. And so we ought to be passionate. I think that's our spirit there. Then in faith, certainly we ought to be a people of faith that love God. And I don't have time to go on here, but didn't even get to purity, but we need to live a life that's pleasing, that brings honor to the glory of God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I certainly need to be pleasing to God. And I would encourage you to be that kind of a Christian, to love God and do everything you can to bring honor and glory to Him. Certainly, I hope this broadcast will lead you to the rock. God bless you this week as you serve Him.
If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, are looking for a church home, or simply have a prayer request, you may contact us by email at PastorLauren@Juno.com or 303-421-9329. Again, that is PastorLauren@Juno.com or 303-421-9329. Please reference Lead Me to the Rock in the email's subject line. Our address is 3540 East 31st Avenue. Sunday school begins at 10 a.m., fellowship time at 10:45, and the church service at 11. A food bank is also provided on Sunday mornings.